Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. May the great seed of your word find good ground in our hearts and minds so that we would leave here determined to be not just hearers of your word, but be doers as well. We ask your blessings now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul Bataldin says, every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. Every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. You can change what you want to see, you can change out people, but until the system is changed, the results will remain the same. Every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. So in having a discussion, for example, about the generational failure of the Houston Independent School District to educate children of color in general and black children specifically, people have said to me, well, we got to fix the school system. And I said, the school system is not broken. It's actually functioning as it was intended, because it was never designed to educate our children. Because every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. That's how the system is designed. So it's not a mistake that Harris County, Texas, and the Houston Independent School District have done more to contribute to the school-to-prison pipeline than any other entity in the state of Texas, because every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. Now, what you may not realize is the same is true about your life. Your life is perfectly designed to get the results you're getting right now. So if you don't like what you're getting, you can lament it, you can cuss about it, you can fuss about it, and you can pray about it. But until you change the system that makes up your life, you're going to continue to get what you've been getting. So if you continue to live the way you live, you'll continue to get what you've been getting. If you continue to argue with every supervisor and every boss you have at every job, you will continue to be fired and added back to the available employment pool at the end of the day. Because every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. And here's the problem for many of us. We try to address long-term problems with short-term solutions. And all we end up with is a roller coaster ride of long-term suffering and short-term celebrations. So here's the question. What do you need to know and do to change your life for the better in a more permanent way? What do you need to do to change your beliefs and behaviors so your life can be changed for the better? I submit to you today, my brothers and sisters, that what you are in need of is a reset. Some of you need a soft reset. Some of you need a hard reset. But every one of us will come to a place, will come to a point where we will benefit from having a reset in life. And that's what I want to talk about today for a few moments. I want to talk to you from the thought how to reset your life to the glory of God. How to reset your life to the glory of God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, You can download an outline, go to our website, goodhope.org, or download our app, and there is a fill-in-the-blank outline on your app that you can fill in using your smartphone or your tablet device. Now, the word reset generally means to return something to its original state or its default, or to clear something that is causing that instrument or that tool to clear it from what has been keeping it from working at peak efficiency. For example, somebody may recognize that you have needed to reset your phone. I just experienced that just the other day. I was trying to get my phone to do something, and it just wouldn't work. And then I was reminded that I had not turned my phone off and allowed it to reset or rest in probably 2 or 3 weeks. And so I turned the phone off, let it set for about 5 minutes, turned it back on, and everything was working again. I had to reset my phone. Somebody else, maybe you had to reset your password. Maybe your computer or your account had been hacked, and you had to reset your password. Or maybe, like some of my passwords, I every now and then am asked to reset them for security purposes. You know what I hate about that? I hate the fact that they ask me to set a new password and then tell me I can't use the last 2 or 3 passwords, all of which work fine, you know. I done run out of passwords now. I got to borrow other people's birthdays and addresses and stuff, and then got to remember whose birthday I'm using. And somebody, you may have had to reset your computer because it froze, and so you wanted to restore it to a previous state. But here's what I want to talk about today. What does it take to reset your life? For somebody, it may have been a tough year. For somebody, it may have been a good year, but you want it to be a better year. What do you need to do to reset your life? And whether you're trying to reset your life in the area of circumstances, your job, your home, your finances, or reset your life in terms of relationships with family or friends or significant others, or you're trying to reset your life in terms of your thinking because you've had some stinking thinking going on in your life, or maybe you're trying to reset your life in terms of commitments or actions in terms of how you live or how you give or where you go or how you serve, or maybe you need to reset your life around beliefs, your beliefs around God, your relationship with him and his purpose for your life. Every one of us needs to experience a reset. Now, here's what I've learned about a reset. While all of us, I think, can acknowledge that there's some point in our lives we need a reset, it is easier to come to the intellectual decision that you need a reset than to make the emotional decision to implement that reset. And most of the times, we don't want to go to that emotional place because it's at that place of emotion that we have to decide if we're going to put our beliefs into action. And that means I'm going to have to let some things go. Let me tell you something real simple. Write this down somewhere because this is going to bless somebody's life. A reset is not an and, it's an instead of. In other words, you can't keep things the way they are and then say, I'm going to reset my life. In order to reset it, there's some things you're going to have to get rid of. And you're going to have to do some new things instead of some of the old things you've been doing. In our text, Luke chapter 9, Jesus has been discussing with his disciples that he was on his way to bear the cross. But in verse 23, he makes a shift. Prior to that, he talks about bearing the cross for humanity. But when he gets to verse 23, now he shifts and talks about humanity's responsibility to bear the cross for divinity. He says, you and I have the opportunity to experience a reset. 4 things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into what it takes to to experience the reset that God wants you to take. And I need you to know something. This is applicable to everybody under the sound of my voice. Here's the first thing. Number one, you have to intentionally choose to reset your life. If you're going to reset your life to the glory of God, you have to intentionally choose to reset your life. Verse 23, Luke chapter 9, the ESV translation says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me." The text says, he said to all. Circle that phrase, he said to all. Everybody had an opportunity to respond to what Jesus said. He said, if anyone would come after me. Now remember, there are two kinds of people in the world. People who need Jesus and people who know Jesus. Saints and sinners. Churched and unchurched and dechurched. And he says to all, if any would come after me. Now, while we are quick to assign this commitment and the necessity of this commitment to those who don't know Jesus, I believe the principle can be applied to those of us who know Jesus. For those who need Jesus, it can be applied in the realm of salvation. But for those of us who know Jesus, it can be applied in the realm of sanctification, because this challenge that the Lord issues is not a one-time challenge, it's an everyday challenge. It's a challenge to make a commitment to follow the Lord. So whether you are returning or recommitting to God or refocusing to God, you have to realize the possibility will not become a reality unless you choose to do so. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've got to make God your priority. But somebody else, God says, I need you to reprioritize me at the center of your life. Because here's what happens. We end up drifting and just going along and going along. And then look up one day and we are far away from God and God has not moved. And the question is, will we do what we need to do? So he says, if, a term of possibility, a wish, an intention, anyone, any person, everybody, nobody is outside of the scope of this call and command of God. He says, come after me. Make a decision to follow after him. Why? Because next level living requires a next level commitment. And a commitment from 2 years ago has probably run its course. It's time to make a new commitment. It's time to experience a reset. And you've got to understand that following the Lord requires you to make a shift, whether that shift is mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical. You've got to be willing to make a change in order to come after the Lord. Here's the second thing. I told you first, you have to intentionally choose to reset your life. Here's the second thing. Number two, you have to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. You got to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. And he said to all, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. We live in a world that celebrates self-indulgence. We live in a world that celebrates and lauds and applauds people who have the ability to indulge themselves. And when those people can't have what they want, they act like spoiled children. And whether you realize it or not, we got some Pampers and pacifiers that need to be distributed sometimes in the church. When folk can't get what they want, because they think what they want is a priority over what God wants. Jesus says you got to learn how to deny yourself. That word deny means to decline, to renounce, to discipline yourself, Just because you can doesn't mean you should, and you have to learn how to say no to yourself. Now, here's the problem. We know how to say no to other people. Matter of fact, some of you are real good at saying no to people you should be saying yes to. But the great mistake comes when you can't practice self-discipline. To say no to yourself. And Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple and follow me, you can't be selfish, self-indulgent, self-serving. He says, you got to learn how to deny yourself. Most people have an easier time denying other people than themselves. Most people have an easier time disciplining others than disciplining themselves. Most people need help disciplining themselves. So here's the question: in what area of your life do you need to deny yourself? Where do you need to discipline yourself? Where do you need to say no? And how can you get help to say no when you want to say yes? Because your no many times is diametrically opposed to God's yes for your life. Here's the third thing. If you're going to reset your life to the glory of God, you've got to intentionally choose to reset your life. You have to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. Here's the third thing. You have to live a committed life to God every day. You've got to live a committed life to God every day. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, here it is, and take up his cross daily. Take up the cross daily. Now, people in Jesus's day knew what it meant to take up a cross. They saw scores of criminals bear the cross, be executed on the cross, and see crucifixions that took place on the roadside going in and out of towns as a deterrent to anyone who would think about criminal activity in that town. When we think about the cross, we don't think about being crucified on it. Many of us think about the cross as a symbol of a hardship in life. Because the cross is always an instrument of death. We think about it as something that is to remind us of not a physical death, but dying to ourselves. How do we live this Christian life where we allow less of us to live and more of Christ to live through us and in us? And obedience is the way that we take up our cross daily. He says every day. Every day we ought to take up our cross. And here's the problem. We'll wear a cross on Sunday, but we won't take up our cross on Monday. He says we've got to learn how to take up our cross. The reminder that every day we ought to be crucifying this flesh and we ought to be living to the glory of God. See, this is more than just being faithful and going to church. This is about being faithful in being church, being the salt of the earth, being the light of the world. This is not about where you go on Sunday as much as it is how you live Monday through Saturday. And the necessary reset and refocus to represent the Lord needs to happen every day. Every day. Not some days, every day. Here's the fourth and final thing. I told you, number one, you've got to choose to reset your life. You've got to be intentional in making that choice. Number two, you have to say no to yourself in order to say yes to God. Number three, you have to live a committed life to God every day. Take up your cross daily. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, you have to always make sure you're following the Lord and not requiring the Lord to follow you. You have to make sure you are always following the Lord and not requiring the Lord to follow you. The end of verse 23, Luke chapter 9. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The word follow means to go after someone, to walk behind or walk with that person directing or leading the way. And this is what being a disciple is all about. It's all about your devotion to Jesus Christ and your commitment to do what the Lord commands you to do. If you've ever tried to follow somebody in an automobile, for example, they have to remember somebody's following them to make your job following them easier. Right? I've had to follow some people and they forgot I was following them and they zipping in and out and cutting in and going around and going through yellow lights and all that stuff, going through red lights, you know. And I'm like, hey, I'm following. Oh, man, my bad. I forgot you were back there. But thank God Jesus doesn't forget. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me in life and in living. I want you to follow my example. I want you to follow me. Now, here's the challenge. Write this down somewhere. You can't stay where you are and go where God wants you at the same time. You can't stay where you are and go where God wants you at the same time. So you have to choose. As a matter of fact, if you choose to stay where you are, you've already made the choice. You've got to decide to choose whether you're going to stay where you are or go where God wants you to be. And there's somebody under the sound of my voice today, somebody who's watching. That's the reset that God wants you to make. See, it's not about how far you are from where you started. The reset now is to get you closer to where God wants you to be. There's somebody in here right now, you started at a negative. You wasn't even at zero. You were at a negative, and so you just as happy that you had a 3 or 4, and you're like, man, I'm doing so much better. And God says, but what about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? He said, what about that next level that you say you want to go to? Because next level living requires next level commitment. But that means you've got to reset some things. And see, one of the problems we have is that, let's be honest, we don't focus on following Jesus like we should. See, we've got a whole lot of choices when it comes to following something. We've got service organizations that we can follow. We've got sororities and fraternities and fraternal organizations. We got hobbies that we can follow. We've got professional clubs and businesses and fame and honor and pleasure. We've got all kinds of stuff that we can follow behind. And Jesus says, you've got to be intentional about following me. Remember what I told you. Being a child of God is not you becoming the best version of yourself you can be. Being a child of God means you are committed to becoming the best version of Jesus you can be. So much so that when people see you, they should have seen so much Jesus that they say, boy, you must be a child of God. You must be a Christian. When you see my sons, you see my daughter, you know they're my children. No question. I was walking down the hall one day next to Brandon, and the person behind me said, oh, my God. And we turned around and said, what? He said, y'all are related, aren't you? And I said, this is my son. Why you say that? He said, because y'all got the same walk. He said, I was just watching y'all. Y'all got the same exact walk. Well, that's not a bad thing because he's my son. When people see you and watch you, do they see you walking like Jesus? Do they hear you talking like Jesus? Do they see you living like Jesus so much so that they say, oh yeah, that's a child of God right there. See, anytime you want to go from where you are to where God is working, or from your way of thinking to God's way of thinking, or from your way of living to the way God wants you to live, or from your purpose for living to the purpose God has for your life, a major adjustment must take place. That's because God's ways and plans are typically better than yours. When we think about the heroes of the faith, the sheroes of the faith, when we think about those who were used by God, they had to be willing to make a change. Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark at the same time. Abram could not stay in Ur or Haran and be the father of a nation in Canaan. Moses could not stay on the backside of a desert and be used by God to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Rahab could not obey the king and save the lives of the Israelite spies. David couldn't keep on tending sheep and become the king of Israel. Amos had to leave his sycamore orchard to preach in Israel. Jonah had to be willing to leave his home and preach to a people he didn't like in order to be used by God. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to give up their fishing business if they wanted to become fishers of men. Matthew had to leave his tax business to follow Jesus. And Jesus had to be willing to leave heaven in order to die on a hill called Calvary on earth. I'm trying to help somebody in here. Are you willing to leave what's familiar to walk by faith? Are you willing to give up your long-standing ideas so that now you can start thinking more like Jesus? Are you willing to expand your life goals and change the purpose for your life and living so it's more in alignment with God's purpose for your life and living? See, following Jesus requires an ongoing day-by-day commitment. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've been stuck long enough. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've been drifting long enough. Somebody, you've been settling long enough. But God says it's time for a reset. Not just a refresh, but a reset. Not just a recharge, but a reset. A recommitment to live your life in a way that pleases God. You've got to choose it intentionally, because growth doesn't happen by accident. You've got to say no to yourself, because you can't sit on God's throne. You got to live a committed life every day, because Sunday faith has to show up on Monday morning. You got to follow God and not drag God behind your plans. Because when you reset your focus, God will reset your future. When you reset your heart, God will restore your hope. When you reset your life, God will release his power. When you reset your priorities, God will realign your purpose. When you reset your mind, God will renew your peace. When you reset your direction, God will reveal your destiny. When you reset your attitude, God will release his anointing. When you reset your schedule, God will strengthen your steps. When you reset your habits, God will multiply your harvest. When you reset your words, God will reshape your world. When you reset your vision, God will enlarge your view. When you reset your obedience, God will unlock your overflow. When you reset your trust, God will rebuild your testimony. Somebody under the sound of my voice needs to reset your walk, reset your will, reset your work, reset your worship, because God is ready to do a new thing in your life. Yes, yes. Anybody in here want God to do something new in your life? The reset is in your hands. Don't miss your moment. Don't delay your decision. Don't postpone your purpose. But tell the Lord, I'm ready for a reset. I'm ready for a rewrite. I'm ready for you to do something new and wonderful and marvelous in my life. Yes, yes, yes. If you're ready for a reset, it begins with a surrender. Not to a program, but to a person. For somebody who's watching, for somebody who's here under the sound of my voice, your reset is available and waiting for you to surrender. If you never ask Jesus Christ into your life, it's a surrender to salvation. But if you know the Lord, your reset is on the other side of you committing to sanctification. To you making a greater commitment to become what God wants you to be. He's not just the author of your story. He's the editor and the finisher. I want to encourage somebody to say yes today. The one who said yes, who gave his life so you could have new life. For somebody, this is your first yes. But for somebody else, it's your fresh yes. And whether it's your first yes or your fresh yes, the Lord says, say yes. Start over with him today at the center of your life. If you've drifted, if you feel like God is far away, bless you. If you feel like you've moved, if you feel like you've drifted, if you feel like God is far away, God has not moved. You have. And it's time for you to say yes. Bless you, man. Bless y'all. Bless you. Bless you. Somebody else up in the balcony or downstairs. Everybody stand if you will, if you can. I need y'all to do me a favor. So I was talking to Aisha, and we were talking about her experience at this church. And she said, Pastor, she said it was the most interesting thing. She said, because people kept on asking me if I wanted to become a member of the church, kept asking me if I knew Jesus. And I told her yes. And then she wanted to know, well, why wasn't I joining the church? Then I saw her again. She said, you still here? What's wrong with us? Why haven't you joined? And she said, and you know, the person kept saying it to me, but she never asked my name. Like, she didn't even know who I was. And I was telling her, yeah, I know the Lord. I love God. And so before you ask anybody anything around you, would you just introduce yourself to them real quick? Just tell them who you are. Just amen. Now don't You ain't got to introduce yourself to the folk who know you. I'm talking about the folk who don't know you. All right. So here's what I want to do. You know, because sometimes I'll ask you, I'll say, hey, ask the person next to you if they're a Christian, and you even ask them their name. You say, well, I walk down with you. Why would they want a perfect stranger to walk down with them? You don't know their name. They don't know your name. They don't know who you are. You don't know who they are. So now at least you introduce yourself to somebody. Now, here's what I need you to do. I need you to think about your own life. I want to do several invitations today. First of all, if you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. People who are here, people who are up front, would love to show you privately how to have a right relationship with God. We're not talking about religion. We're not even talking about coming to church every Sunday. But what we are talking about is you learning how to be church every day of your life. Amen. So that you can be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world. And Jesus says that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're here and you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to come right now. Second invitation, if you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be. Now, let me just help you. If you're looking for a perfect church, the only thing I can tell you is when you find it, please don't join because you're going to mess it up. Because all of us are imperfect people serving a perfect God. If somebody comes to you and says, man, oh, I know your pastor. I remember your pastor. Say, yeah, but he on the right road now. Whatever you know, he's on the right road now. He on the right road now. We on the right road now. That's what I said. We're on the right road now. Right? So if you're here and you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come. Third invitation. If you're here and the Holy Spirit has convicted you and you know you need to make a reset decision today. You need to make a reset decision. Not salvation, you know the Lord, but sanctification. You've drifted away from where God has called you to be, from where you used to be. And God says, I want to do something new in your life, but I need you to renew your commitment to me. So if you're here today and you want prayer around that, I want to give you an opportunity to come, and we're going to pray. All right? One of those three things, whatever they are, you come, and we're going to rejoice when you come. Bless you. Come on, baby. Come on, somebody, you've moved far away from where God wants you to be, far away from where you used to be. You need to come on and come back. Up in the balcony, come on down. Praise God. Say yes to the Lord today. Come on. I see you coming. Come on. I see you coming. Come on. Come on. Yes, Lord. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Code that you see, you can find your way to a quick link. But if you're watching and you're streaming, just put in the chat, "I want to pray with somebody," and they'll move you into a private prayer room where somebody will pray with you face to face. If you are in need of salvation, they'll pray the prayer of salvation with you. Whatever you need, we're here to serve you and connect with you, because we don't want to leave you by yourself, but we want to create a fellowship, a relationship with you to help you in your walk with God. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Since January of 2023, actually April of 2023, we've discipled and or are discipling people in 26 different states and 5 different countries around the world, and you can join us on that journey. We'll walk with you to help you in your journey to becoming all that God wants you to be. Let me ask one more time. We're going to sing one more time, and if you're here today, you need Jesus Christ in your life, you're looking for a church home, or you need or want special prayer around this reset for yourself, come on and come. Come on and come. Come on and come. It's not too late. Come on and come.